Good morning, Barry White.
You're listening to Grant Edwards, 88.1 FM, The Wireless, the world at 5.
Okay, it's time to get up. It is time to get up. We'll be having some weather forecasts for you very shortly. We'll be looking at the marine forecast for all the main centres in just one moment, please.
Jacinda Ardern, you haven't been tested on these sorts of trust issues.
Call yourself a socialist?
No.
You've never told a lie in politics?
No.
See, somebody sent me a video actually last Friday and it had you talking at the socialist youth.
Oh, right, yes.
And you mentioned the word comrade about four times in a minute. What was that about?
It was a rally and I would have been about 25 years old.
Comrade. It was in 2009.
Oh, well, I can't remember which country it was in.
Do you think it's changed since those days?
No, not particularly.
If you are caught in a lie or caught intentionally misleading the New Zealand public, how would you expect to be held to account? You've never told a lie in politics?
No.
Different people now say Jacinda Ardern told them that Donald Trump mistook her for the wife of Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. It sounds a trifling matter. Did you tell people that Donald Trump mistook
her? No.
But that's not the story they gave us. They didn't say someone got it wrong and thought accidentally that Jacinda Ardern had been mistaken. They said Jacinda Ardern was mistaken and Jacinda Ardern told us that she was mistaken by Donald Trump.
And it's quite complicated.
It's not. It's actually not.
Okay.
Did you say to Tom Sainsbury that Donald Trump mistook you for Justin Trudeau's wife?
I gave him a short version, which was in behind the scenes at the Music Awards.
I know. What was the short version?
The shortened version was that there was some confusion over who I was, observed by someone else. I believe I told him the full story.
You believe you did?
I believe
Two
I did.
Two people now say that you told them that you were mistaken by Donald Trump. I know this seems like a trifling matter, but what I'm suggesting is that, and now that you are a world leader, all of these little things can blow up to be big. And if you are giving something that is not the entire truth, it can confuse people.
No, I'm sharing this story here.
Did you say that confusion was someone else's confusion, or did you imply that it was Donald Trump's confusion?
I said there was confusion over who I was.
My school, there used to be a choice. You either learnt Tudor England or you learnt New Zealand history. And I'm lucky that I had a history teacher who believed that we should all learn New Zealand history. And so I was lucky that I did, but not everyone does.
The Article 1 of the treaty, what does it say?
Oh, Article 1, on the spot. Kāwhāingatanga, sorry, excuse me.
Article 2?
Look,
tēnā ringatanga.
Well, that's amazing, isn't it? And I did a fantastic job of editing that. It's got 2 minutes and 37 seconds to run, but so we won't be doing that. Oh, my finger. I just bumped my microphone and I've got a cut on my thumb that I got from building. I don't know how it's, and it's a bit sore. So anyway, so that really hurt. Okay, it's 5 minutes past six. Good morning to you. Thanks for joining me. And we've got the weather coming up in just a minute. I want to do something, and I thought I had 2 more minutes to run, but I don't. So, gosh, that was dumb. I think I remember that was a bit of a problem one other time. Yes, so anyway, we won't be doing that. Now, we've got this Dr. Geert Van Boshe. He is coming up very shortly, and he'll be up right after the weather. Let's check out the forecast for the whole of the country.
88.1 FM, The Wireless Weather.
All right, we're looking at the forecast. It is what we call the marine forecast. And first of all, we'll look at the situation. For the whole country, the coastal situation is a ridge of high pressure which lies over New Zealand. A weakening cold front slowly moves northwards across the country on Thursday and Friday. And another ridge builds over the South Island behind the front on Friday, extending to the North Island on Saturday and persisting over the country on Sunday. Now, today, you can expect a variable 5 knots in the Bay of Islands, northerlies of 10 knots developing around midday, rising to 15 knots late afternoon. changing to westerlies 10 knots this evening. Seas will be slight with fine weather, an easterly swell of half a metre rising to 1 metre. Tomorrow, Friday, westerlies 10 knots, turning southerly 10 knots, so it might cool off a bit, 10 knots, and that's going to be in the morning. Occasional rain, but clearing, easterly swell of 1 metre. From Bremhead to Cape Colville, today 10 knot westerlies, becoming northwest 10 knots, but 15 knots in Colville Channel this afternoon. You'll have slight seas, partly cloudy weather with the odd shower, a northeasterly swell of half a metre. A Friday, westerlies of 10 knots, turning to southerly 15 knots in the Hauraki Gulf to Bremhead to Cape Colville. Occasional rain, clearing, northeasterly swell of half a metre. Moving down to the Hauraki, into the Hauraki Gulf, a variable 5 knots, westerlies 10 knots developing this morning, turning to northwest 10 knots, but 15 knots north of Whangaparoa. This afternoon, seas will be slight, partly cloudy with the odd evening shower. On Friday, we have westerly winds at 10 knots, turning to southerlies 15 knots in the morning. Occasional rain, but it'll be clearing with a southeast swell of half a metre or less. For the Waitemata Harbour, today, variable 5 knots, westerlies 10 knots developing this morning, turning to northwest 10 knots for a time this afternoon. Seas will be slight, partly cloudy, and the odd evening shower. Tomorrow, westerlies 10 knots, turning to southerly 10 knots in the morning, rain but clearing. For the Manukau Harbour, variable 5 knots, westerlies 10 knots developing this morning. Seas slight, partly cloudy, the odd evening shower with a southwest swell of a metre, and easing to half a metre for a time. Tomorrow, westerlies of 10 knots in the Manukau Harbour, turning to southerly 10 knots in the morning, rain clearing, southwest swell of 1 metre rising to 2 metres. Now to Coromandel, variable 5 knots today, northwesterlies 10 knots developing this morning, rising to 15 knots for a time this afternoon, and turning to westerly 10 knots this evening. Seas slight, fine weather, evening cloud, and the odd evening shower, easterly swell of half a metre. Tomorrow, westerlies 10 knots, changing to easterlies 15 knots in the evening. Showers clearing, easterly swell of half a metre, but it will rise to 1 metre. For the Bay of Plenty, variable 5 knots, northwesterlies 10 knots developing around midday, rising to 15 knots for a time this afternoon, turning to westerlies 10 knots this evening, see slight fine weather and evening cloud, a northeasterly swell of half a metre. On Friday, northwesterlies 10 knots, turning to southwest 10 knots in the morning, turning to southeast 15 knots in the afternoon, showers clearing, a northeast swell of half a metre. Now for the freshwater lakes, Lake Taupo, variable 5 knots, westerlies of 10 knots developing for a time in the afternoon and evening, waves less than half a metre, cloud lowering and fair visibility and rain developing later in the day. Tomorrow, variable 5 knots on Lake Rotorua, variable 5 knots with a southeasterly coming up to 10 knots in the morning, waves less than half a metre, poor visibility in showers, but they will clear in the morning. On Lake Taupo, variable 5 knots, westerlies 10 knots developing for a time in the afternoon and evening, waves less than half a metre, mostly cloudy with isolated showers, poor visibility in rain from the afternoon. Tomorrow on Rotorua, variable 5 knots, becoming southeast 10 knots in the morning, rising to easterly 15 knots for a time in the afternoon. Waves rising to half a metre for a time, poor visibility in showers, becoming isolated in the morning. For Hawke's Bay today, northwesters of 10 knots, easing to variable 5 knots for a time in the afternoon and evening. Seas will be slight with fine weather, evening cloud, an easterly swell of 1 metre, a southerly swell of half a metre east of Cape Kidnappers and Mohaka. On Friday, northwesters at Hawke's Bay, 10 knots, changing to southerlies, 15 knots in the morning, occasional rain clearing, a southerly swell of half a metre, that's from Cape Kidnappers to Mohaka, and 1.5 metres late, easterly swell of 1 metre. For Kapiti, we have northwesters of 15 knots, turning to northerly 15 knots this morning, rising to northwest 20 knots for a time this afternoon, and easing to 10 knots early evening, changing to southwest 10 knots late evening. Seas becoming moderate for a time this afternoon. There'll be fair visibility in morning showers and then poor visibility in rain for a time in the afternoon. Southwest swells of half a metre developing and a northwest swell of 1.5 metres developing, easing to 1 metre. Tomorrow at Kapiti, variable 5 knots becoming southwest 10 knots in the afternoon. Cloud clearing, a northwest swell of 1 metre, easing to half a metre, a southwest swell of half a metre. For Mana today, a strong windboarding advisory is in force. Northerlies 20 knots, rising to 25 knots, gusting 35 knots this afternoon, changing to southerlies 15 knots this evening. Seas becoming rough for a time this afternoon. Cloudy, poor visibility and rain for a time from afternoon. A northwest swell of half a metre developing. A southwest swell of half a metre also developing. For tomorrow at Mana, the wind warning eases off. A southeasterlies of 10 knots. A cloud clearing, a northwesterly swell of half a metre dying out, with a southwest swell of half a metre as well. There is a windy warning in windy Wellington. 25 knots northerlies this morning, gusting 35 knots, easing to northwest 15 knots this afternoon, changing to southerlies 15 knots this evening. Rough seas easing this evening. Fair visibility in morning showers and then poor visibility in rain for a time this afternoon. For the south coast in Palliser Bay, a southerly swell of half a metre. For Castle Point, an easterly swell of 1 metre, a southerly swell of half a metre. And tomorrow in Wellington, southeasterlies of 10 knots, fine weather, becoming cloudy later. For the south coast in Palliser Bay, a southerly swell of half a metre, rising to 1 metre. For Castle Point, an easterly swell of 1 metre, and southerly swell of half a metre, rising to 1 metre. And finally for Christchurch today, variable 5 knots, a northeaster of 15 knots developing early morning, changing to southwest 15 knots late morning, and turning to southeast 15 knots this afternoon, easing to 10 knots early evening, becoming variable 5 knots late evening. Seas will be slight with morning cloud, fair visibility in periods of light rain from the morning, and an easterly swell of half a metre. Now, you want to hear this. This was sent to me last night. This is Dr. Gert van den Bosche. I think that's how he says it. This is a bone-chilling message from him to the COVID cartel. You're all criminals. Listen to this.
If these people would now go out and say, oh, wait a minute, yeah, we have been making some mistakes. It wasn't all right. We have to correct them and we have to revise our opinion. These people would be stoned in the street, right? They have no choice. They have no choice than other than to stick, even if they completely see how wrong they have been, they have no other choice. They can only hope that something will happen that will distract from this issue, that will distract me, but it won't. And so they keep silent or they just continue, along the path that they have been walking along so far. But I can tell you that many of them must be desperate. But, you know, being together, they feel protected. You know, this is a big lobby. This is a big lobby. And they think that everybody thinks that the other will protect them, right? Which is not the case, but this is this typical feeling. You all have committed crimes, but you are a big group, and it's like the mafia, and you feel all together, you feel like a big team, and nobody can penetrate into the team, etc. It will collapse because the surface, the truth will surface. This has been a large scale experiment of gain of function on the very human population. This is something that will be reported in history for many, many generations to come, much longer than the talks that have taken place after World War I and World War II, etc.
Now that is Dr. Geet van den Bosche, I think, or Bosche, I think that's how he pronounces his name. In a moment, we're back here in New Zealand. We're going to meet the Kiwi speed data that's brought to you by the Herald. Coming up, it's 15 minutes past six.
How do you propose we stop inflation?
You cut federal spending dramatically, and you stop the Federal Reserve from buying bonds of failed banks like Silicon Valley Bank and artificially boosting the money supply, which makes all of you poorer. The reason why you guys are going to struggle to buy a home for the next 15 years is because DC is addicted to deficit spending. Addicted. We could talk about abortion all day long. Every kid on this campus is significantly poorer than your parents because politicians spend tons of money we don't have. It's a fact. It transcends politics.
That was a major reality check. That's Charlie Kirk there giving that kid a major reality check. Did I say speed data?
I can't remember, Grant. I wasn't listening.
I thought I said speed data, but it's speed eating. Can you believe it? Speed eating. Here it is. She's the champion.
All right. 3, 2, 1, begin.
This is a famous Gao fried chicken. 5 hours slow roasted pork ribs, pork and prawn dumpling, sake cured salmon, nanali prep fish, tuna kinilaw, paya salad, peking duck curry, longganisa skewer, masaman curry, eggplant.
It's Ben Dickens here from the New Zealand Herald, and today we're at Gao Asian Fusion, where we're going to be witnessing a speed eater absolutely demolish some food. It's insane. Let's do it.
I think I would have been like 22, 23, and there was a sales peak eating contest, and my mum was like, oh, you should enter it, you know, I reckon you'd win. I said no for like ages. I was like, no, I don't want to do it. That's weird, I don't want to, you know. And then on the last day to like qualify for it, I went in and I set like one of the best times for eating one of their like massive 18 inch pizzas.
Yeah.
And I ended up going to the final like a few months later, and I beat like 19 big dudes, and I was like, damn, I could actually like make a bit of like a career out of this, you know? Yeah.
Nala has gone from a model to speed eater and now a qualified doctor.
Obviously, like, being a doctor is, like, my main focus.
What do we need to get into?
Yeah, that's, like, my main focus. So that's, like, my main career. This is more of, like, a side hobby, like, fun, like, gives me a lot of cool opportunities, which is nice.
So I was a huge fan of Matt Stoney and Furious Pete. So both of them are, like, competitive eaters. Furious Pete was also, like, a bodybuilder. So I used to watch their videos, like, religiously. Like, I would not miss them. And I was like, oh, I could do that. So I started filming myself doing, like, certain challenges. Like, there was the Mad Mix 1 kilo burrito challenge.
Yeah.
So I filmed myself doing that. It was terrible. It was in portrait mode before, like, TikTok was a thing. So everything was normally in landscape. It was the worst video ever. Like, it was actually terrible.
But you did the challenge.
But I did the challenge, and I uploaded the video, and it just went viral.
When this model and beauty queen is not on the runway or competing for a crown, you can find her moonlighting as a competitive eater.
Oh,
her name is
woman.
Nella Zisser, and look at this.
Wow.
She's doing what the, she's scarfing down.
Is that a burrito?
Yeah, it's a burrito.
Jono and Ben actually saw it, and then they asked me to like come do some stuff with them. So I did like a lot of stuff with Jono and Ben in the beginning.
And is that kind of how like some traction in New Zealand kind of started?
Yeah, well, they actually got me over to America to compete in Nathan's famous hot dog eating contest.
Nella, we've got you here today because we want to send you to the World Hot Dog Eating Champs in New York.
Oh my God, that's crazy. Thank you so much, guys.
Oh, no, we're not going to do it personally. We can't afford it. That costs quite a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
Hey, most of the time, like 95% of the time, I'm pretty healthy. Like, I don't ever really eat breakfast. I do what you'd call, like, intermittent fasting. So I don't eat breakfast. I'll have, like, a late lunch and, like, an early dinner or something. So I'll tend to stick to my meals, like, 1 to 2 meals a day. I'll eat all my calories in that kind of, like, time frame.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, a snack or anything like that. I zone out. Like, when I'm doing a challenge or a contest, like, I, like, kind of, I'm in the zone. I'm just thinking about being able to finish something in a certain amount of time. The bigger challenges, you feel a little bit for the rest of the day, but by the next day, once you sleep on it, you wake up and you feel like
once a million
bucks again.
And you've got up.
Yeah, it's like, it's like a reset.
Nella's culinary challenges span a wide range, from downing 3 litres of milk to tackling spicy noodles and everything in between.
I'm a big foodie myself. I used to own a restaurant, Tux and Bao.
Yeah.
I absolutely love food, like massive, massive foodie. So I actually enjoy these challenges. Even if I'm like quite full and it's been going on for a while and I'm like just trying to finish something, I can still like find enjoyment in it, which I think is good. I do a lot of like spicy challenges. So like Korean fire noodles is like a big thing for me.
Yeah.
I like doing those kind of challenges. I still enjoy it in a way because you get like a thrill of being able to finish
right?
it.
Yeah.
You get like a certain like boost from it. You're like, oh yeah, like I feel really good because I was able to like complete that. So even if it's not so nice for those ones, that's the kind of thing that drives me to be able to do it.
With all of Nella's challenges behind her, the real question is where to from here and how long can she continue for?
Like I'm just gonna do it as long as it's fun.
Yeah.
As long as I'm enjoying it, I'll do it. It's not my like job or anything, it's just like a hobby. So I'm just gonna do it as long as I like it and then when I'm bored, I'll stop.
Here we are. That's brought to you by the New
Thanks
Zealand
for checking
Herald.
Out our YouTube-
There we go. And now what we've got coming up for you is J.K. Rowling. Apparently she is, this is a brilliant piece here, it's brought to you by Sky News. J.K. Rowling, she is applauded by an academic for challenging the new hate speech laws in Scotland. It's 20 past six. Good morning to you. And we'll also have a look and see what happened on this day, the 4th of April. If you're having a birthday today, you have a very good day today. Make sure you have a nice one. Don't let anyone upset you today.
Now, one of the world's most prestigious universities has suffered a massive funding blow because of its refusal to condemn calls for a genocide against Israel, because it's been weak on anti-Semitism. This is an encouraging development, a case of strong values and clear logic fighting back against the dangerous woke culture that's enveloping educational institutions around the world and which has reached a new low over the Israel-Hamas conflict.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, she also did talk about the hate speech laws coming up in Scotland. This is a good one too. This is about anti-Semitism. Yeah, she's good. I like her. She's my friend.
Let me take you through this as it unfolded. Like other universities, Harvard, the most prestigious university in the US, has been swamped by pro-Palestinian activism. There have even been ugly scenes of pro-Palestine or pro-Hamas protesters surrounding and intimidating Jewish students.
Oh, for goodness sake, I got that completely confused. Here she is now. This is J.K. Rowling. Now, and that was just a piece from Sky News. That's just one of the latest pieces from them. Okay, 21 minutes past six.
Now, police have received nearly 4,000 complaints since the new Hate and Public Disorder Act came into force this week.
Quite incredible. Now, this new law makes stirring up hatred over a number of protected characteristics a crime.
The author, J.K. Rowling, had been at the forefront of the backlash to the bill, which critics say puts freedom of speech at risk.
Yes, she's come out very strongly indeed. Well, we're joined now by academic and author Dr. Heather Brunskill-Evans. Heather, thank you very much for joining us. It's quite incredible, not just the number of complaints that have already gone in to Police Scotland, nearly 4,000 is what we're reporting in just 24 hours, but also J.K. Rowling's position on all this. She's very much daring the police and, by extension, Humza Yousaf, to arrest her.
Yeah. So she's done something which is a really good thing to do, because what she's done is she's publicly drawing out the consequences of this new bill. And in doing so, she's protecting many other women who are very frightened to speak out and name biological reality, for example, that men are men. And in a sense, she's providing a buffer zone between herself and the ordinary woman on the street, because, of course, she's very famous. She has lots of money if she was embroiled in a legal case. And the police are highly unlikely to have actually done anything, investigated her. So good for her. I think it's a brilliant strategic move that she's made.
Heather, do you think that if it was someone who didn't have the wealth, fame, power, influence, reach of J.K. Rowling who had done the same thing, do you think they would have been treated differently?
Probably, because what is actually happening with the new act is that it's crystallizing what has been going on for a number of years, which is that people have been, the police have involved themselves with those who have named biological reality. I myself, indeed, was reported to the West Yorkshire Police for a non-crime hate incident, and that was that I gave a talk that I don't believe, or I think is very harmful to medicalise children on the basis that they identify as a young person as transgender. And that was interpreted by somebody in the audience as a very hateful thing to say. So obviously there were people in the audience who liked what I said, but the point is that hate is a very subjective thing.
How did you find out that the police had logged this as a non-crime hate incident? Because one of the big problems about the J.K. Rowling case in Scotland, of course, is we don't know if it's been logged as a hate crime incident yet, or a non-crime hate incident?
Because I was told this, the person who reported told me that they had done that. And I was briefly in conversation with the West Yorkshire Police and briefly got a legal person involved in it in order to defend myself. Now, the point is, it didn't go any further. That is the reality of it. But it could have gone further. And we don't want to live in an authoritarian, tyrannical regime at which what any person says can be subjectively interpreted by another person as hate, and that the police become involved. The police should not be those who are left in charge of what we can and we cannot say.
Are you concerned, Heather, that this type of law will come to England with a change of government?
Well, hopefully, with the kind of media coverage now, which J.K. Rowling has managed to establish, which was great. And as I say, this has been going on for years without it really coming to public knowledge. So I think now that that's happened, there may be some difficulty in it being adopted by England. But
I might think again.
England, Scotland and Wales have been in unison about this.
Well, thank you very much indeed for your time. Great to speak to you. Dr. Heather Brunskill-Evans, academic and author. Really good stuff.
It is really good stuff. It's 27 minutes past six. You're with The World Gone Mad with Grant Edwards. And coming up, we'll have a listen to growing fears that Scotland's hate crime laws will be weaponised. And also we'll look at a Muslim teacher who was warning his students. He said that you will be taken over. That's coming up this hour.
December 8th, 2014. My cousin, who was fired by our dictator just before making rank withheld, sent me information given to him by a friend who is still an Air Force pilot. This pilot is saying that he flies chemtrail flights. This pilot told my cousin that this global geoengineering effort goes by the name of, quote, Indigo Skyfold, unquote. At least within the circle of pilots and aviation crews that he works with, they are told to fly specific routes and satellite comm links control the aerosol dispersal patterns. He says that they only make course corrections from time to time and perform landings and takeoffs. Pilot navigation and maintenance crews are rotated constantly and only spend about 18 months at one given base. He states that this is to keep pilots and their families from making too many friends and ending up with loose lips. They're told to simply do their job and shut the F up. First of all, I would like to say I do not agree with my mission assignments, but what soldier ever truly does? Several of us have considered bucking the ranks and going AWOL from time to time. We are kept in the dark when it comes to getting honest answers about what we are really spraying. Should they discover that we or our families are actively inquiring about your so-called chemtrails term, then automatic and swift disciplinary action will be taken. I would not intentionally spray my children with family with toxic aerosols, but as you must know, 80% or better do not have any family or children. Indigo pilots are chosen from the top ranks within the Air Force, Navy, and Coast Guard. Most of the pilots are, quote, hardened to humanity, unquote, and could care less about killing off unwanted or leeching aspects of America and the world. I swear to you, the majority of the pilots are like machines. I call them tanker terminators. We are paid more than any other pilot for our service. Other than Air Force One pilots, who make as much or more and are kept in a dark secret world for their own protection.
Me, that's scary. Yeah, but is it true, though? You know, that's the thing. It could just be one of those things that people send me. Might not even be true. No, it might just be a load of bollocks, mightn't it? Anyway, how about a song? We've got Barkman Turner Overdrive coming up. This one's for Anthony Yankovic over in Melbourne. How are you? Good morning, Anthony. Hope you're having a good morning this morning, 6:30.
When we say playing the best of the 70s to the noughties, this is what we mean. We'll be right back.
it right. And would you cry if I told you that line? And would you say goodbye? Or would you let it ride? See, my life is not complete. I'll never see you smile. Drive, 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 let it ride.
That's a great song there, Taking Care of Business, I thought it was, but it's actually Don't Let It Ride. I must have, did you do that, Digger?
Yeah, sorry, I must have muffed it up there. I get confused. You have me doing, you're overworking me.
I am overworking you. 26 minutes away from 7. Coming up, we're going to hear from Jonathan Kahn. He's going to warn us not to curse Israel, because there's warnings in the Bible. I think it's Genesis 12:3. Chapter 12, verse 3, not to curse Israel. And there's a blessing for us if we bless Israel. So there's a lot of people, I'm looking, seeing it on my Facebook feed, a lot of people are cursing Israel, saying terrible things about their leaders. And, you know, but that doesn't mean, maybe Netanyahu isn't so good, but that doesn't mean all Israelis are bad. You know, there's a good people, and there's bad people in every community. Now, we've also got coming up, yes, we've got Jonathan Kahn, we've got that Muslim teacher, and we've also, we'll hear from Katie Hopkins as well, from Batshit Bonkers Britain. And but right now, the growing fears coming up after Jordan Peterson, the growing fears that Scotland's hate crime laws will be weaponized. In a moment, here at The Wireless, and you're listening to The World Gone Mad with me, Grant Edwards, all the way through till 8 o'clock this morning.
Get up at the same time. I would highly recommend all those young people out there who are listening, like, you want to get a jump on life, get the hell out of bed in the morning. You know, as I've got older, I've got up earlier and earlier. Now, that's partly because you don't need as much sleep, but it's also partly because I've got more and more disciplined. Like, get up early in the morning and get your things done. Man, learn to get up at 6 in the morning and you'll be one deadly creature, especially if you can get to work. You'll have half your damn day done by the time other people haul their sorry asses out of bed. And so that's a massive, massive advantage. Get your sleep cycle organized so you get up in the morning. Learn how to do it. No excuses. I'm too tired in the morning. I don't like mornings. Who cares? That's not relevant. It's like discipline yourself.
People would pick up the phone and take it upon themselves to be like, yes, pursue this person for standing up for their personal rights and liberties. Clearly, you see differently on an issue, but is that any reason to report someone to the authorities? Clearly, 3,800 people within 24 hours in Scotland did think so. And it does beg the question when such laws come into power here in Australia, because we already know our government is gunning for their misinformation, disinformation laws, and it's going to be a free-for-all. As Schellenberger just laid out for everyone, this is a trend across the Western world. It is not just Scotland. It is every single Western government, and each and every one of residents in those countries can feel the noose tightening around their necks in terms of what they can and cannot say. And it's now extending into the realm of, yes, but you will be punished. You won't just be vilified. You won't just be deplatformed. You will be fined and you will cop a slap from the law itself. So that is what it reminded me of. The fact that so many people, and I hate to think it because I come from a family of seven kids and the worst thing you can be is a dibba-dobber. The worst thing you can be is a snitch. And so to think that there is that many people who Australia wouldn't be an exception to the rule, if and when those laws are brought in here, we'll be seeing the same. And of course, as the Scots have already found out, this is an administrative nightmare. Mm-hmm. There is absolutely no quantifying just how many hours it will take to dig through 3,800 claims of hate crimes, figure out how legitimate they are, knock on people's doors and follow it up.
Well, if you want the state to become the ultimate authority, you break down every other social relationship, don't you? And the easiest way to do that is to promise people you can complain about your neighbour, your family member, your workmate, anonymously, and we promise we will investigate. Maybe these laws don't go far enough. Maybe they should outlaw microaggressions. So if your neighbour raises an eyebrow when you're mowing the lawn at 7 in the morning, but what if I say something offensive to you and you retaliate with something offensive to me? Do we both get arrested?
Yeah, maybe so, and we can share the same cell so we can keep offending each other forevermore. But it reveals what you're talking about, Liz. It reveals this this great tendency, underlying tendency in humanity for people to be narcs when they get jealous. Because, you know, dobbing on your neighbour for breaking the rules during COVID or dobbing on someone for saying something, you know, that was sort of mildly offensive online, it's less so, I think, in most cases about the fact that they're actually angry at what you've done. They're angry that you've gotten away with it, right? They don't like that, you know, I'm adhering to the law and you're not. How dare you do something that I don't think I can do? And so you should get in trouble for it. They just want to punish other people for things that they won't do themselves because they're a goody two-shoes.
21 minutes to 7. That is brought to you by Sky News. And coming up, we'll have Jonathan Khan. We'll also have that Muslim teacher. He's been banned for telling kids that the Muslims are going to take over the United Kingdom. And we'll hear from Katie Hopkins as well. And also something very interesting about fresh water and salt water. It's in the Bible, and we've got a fellow telling us about that. As well as we'll hear from Voltaire. We won't hear from him himself, but someone quoting Voltaire, all coming up. But right now, we're going to have a look and see what happened on this day in history. Today is the 4th of April. If you're having a birthday today, I hope you have a brilliant day. And, you're in your another year, eh? Another year. Well, these are the two things that happened on this day here in New Zealand. That was the only two things that ever happened. On this day in 1921, we had the first dental nurses. They began training. And also Dame Sylvia Cartwright on this day. She began her, she becomes the Governor General. Firstly, the school dental nurses. Well, that was back a long time ago, back when my father was born, actually, in 1921. The first school dental nurses begin their training, and that happened on this day. Oh, gosh, and I tell you what, I can remember my sister, she was a dental nurse. She actually got double honours. She was one of the top dental nurses in the country, my sister Valerie, and I think she graduated, when did she graduate from dental nurses school? She was in Wellington. would have been sort of 1969-70, somewhere around there. On the 4th of April, on this day in 1921, 30 women aged between 18 and 36 began training as dental nurses for the state-funded School Dental Service. That's the SDS. A world first, the SDS was established to provide New Zealand primary school children with free dental care in recognition of the appalling condition of their teeth. Well, don't eat all the lollies. Don't eat carbohydrates, and stop vaccinating them. We'll hear from Steve Kirsch a bit later on as well, why you don't want to be vaccinating your kids. 9 out of 10 were said to be in need of dental intervention. The social policy of the time was also heavily focused on children's health and well-being. In January, 120 women applied for the SDS. 3 months later, a temporary training facility opened in Wellington, and it annexed the government building. Most of the scanty equipment in the bleak tomato house, they called it, had been used by the dental corps during the First World War. Under the tutelage of Richmond Dunn, the trainees undertook intensive program of study, and including learning chemistry and anatomy, dental treatments and extractions. The first school dental nurses graduated in April 1923. The upskilling of women to provide dental care in schools was opposed, though, by the medical and trained nurses associations, which held protest meetings around the country and made submissions to the government. These groups argued that training dental nurses would be less costs and time effective than employing already trained male dentists, and some feared it would lower professional standards. Based in a purposely built facility in Willis Street from 1940, the training school would continue in operation until 1999. 15 other countries set up similar schemes, so New Zealand was what'd you call it? We're groundbreaking. There we are, trailblazing. Now, Dame Sylvia Cartwright, on this day in April 4th, 2001, the swearing in of Dame Sylvia Cartwright as New Zealand's 18th Governor General, completed a female clean sweep of the country's most powerful political and legal positions. 4 other prominent women attended the ceremony: Prime Minister Helen Clark, opposition leader Jenny Shipley, Chief Justice Sian Elias, and Attorney General Margaret Wilson. Dame Sylvia was the second female Governor General of New Zealand. Dame Catherine Tizard, former Auckland Mayor, held the position from 1990 until 96. Dame Cartwright came to prominence when she headed an inquiry into the treatment of women with cervical cancer at National Women's Hospital in Auckland. In 1993, she became New Zealand's first female High Court judge. As Governor-General, Dame Sylvia broke with convention by publicly offering views on issues such as the use of reasonable force by parents against their children and the length of prison sentences. After finishing her term as Governor-General in 2006, Dame Sylvia was appointed to the panel of judges trying former Khmer Rouge officials in Cambodia. In 2014, she took part in the United Nations investigations of alleged war crimes and human rights abuses in Sri Lanka. And all that happened on this day in history. Coming up, we'll hear from Jonathan Kahn as to why you don't want to be cursing Israel. It's 16 minutes away from 7.
The chant, from the river to the sea. Yeah, let's look at the map. Here's the river. Here's the sea. Oh, I see. It means you get all of it. Not just the West Bank, which was basically the original UN partition deal you rejected because you wanted all of it and always have, even though it's indisputably also the Jews' ancestral homeland. And so you attacked and lost and attacked again and lost and attacked again and lost. As my friend Dr. Phil says, how's that working for you? Look at what Mexico used to own, all the way up to the top of California. But no Mexican is out there chanting from the Rio Grande to Portland, Oregon, because they chose a different path. They got real and built a country that's the world's 14th biggest economy now, because they knew the United States wasn't going to give back Phoenix any more than Hamas will ever be in Tel Aviv.
No, that's absolutely right. Now, that is Bill Maher, just in case you weren't sure who it was speaking. Here's Jonathan Kahn.
God told Abraham in Genesis 12, I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I will curse. This has been called the Abrahamic covenant. It's real simple. If you bless Abraham, as in his children, If you bless the Jewish people, you'll be blessed. If you curse them, you'll be cursed. Now, it can be taken in a larger sense. Whatever you do to the Jewish people or to Israel, it's going to be done to you. Now, this biblical law has held true from the days of the pharaohs of Egypt to the days of the Assyrian Empire, to Babylon, to Persia, to Greece, to Rome, to the kingdoms of Europe, the Spanish Empire, the British Empire, the Nazis, the Soviet Union, and America. Quick check. First question. Which nation has been the greatest ally of Israel in the modern world? America. Second question. Which nation has been the most blessed nation in the modern world? America. It's not a coincidence. It's the Abrahamic covenant. That's the law. It's held true from ancient times to this very moment. Now, before we go further, for your own sake, this law doesn't just apply to nations. It applies to people. I've met anti-Semitic people in my life, people who hate the Jewish people, who hate Israel. And I've never met any of them who was blessed and who wasn't cursed. Never. Whether they were well off in the world or not, they were cursed. There was a darkness over their life, over their heart, over everything. On the other hand, I've never met a person, particularly a believer, who loved the Jewish people, who loved Israel, and wasn't blessed. Regardless of circumstances, it didn't matter. There was a blessing on their life, on their heart, on their spirit, on everything. So for your own sake, for the sake of your life and blessing, do not curse the Jewish people or Israel. Bless them. How? Pray for them. Get the gospel to them. Support ministries that are doing that. Stand with them. As Ruth was to Naomi, you be the Ruth to the Naomi of Israel. You may have caught a glimpse of this on the internet, but we're going to open it wide open. A member of the Turkish parliament gets up to give a speech. The speech condemns Israel, of course, and for Israel's actions in defending itself against the terror of Hamas. He goes on and on and on condemning Israel. But at the end of his speech, he does something not usually seen in a speech in a parliament. He calls down a curse upon Israel from heaven. He actually calls down a curse.
Allah'ın gazabından kurtulamayacaksınız. Hepinizi saygıyla selamlıyorum.
Okay, he just cursed Israel. And not only cursed Israel, but actually called down a curse from heaven upon Israel. Now, Genesis 12 warns, don't do that. Because if you do that, what you call down on Israel or the Jewish people, it's going to come back down on you. The man was struck down dead. He called down a curse from heaven on Israel, and he was struck dead. The Abrahamic covenant before your eyes in real time. Is God real or what? Genesis 12 recorded on videotape at the Turkish parliament. Do you think the Turkish government might have second thoughts about cursing Israel in the future? Well, they're going to be part of Ezekiel 38 and 39, but maybe some will take note. But here's the thing. America has been Israel's strongest ally in the modern world and the most blessed nation. But there's a very present danger. The polls are showing that the younger generation of Americans is not only the generation that's least connected to God and biblical values, but it's the least pro-Israel generation in American history, the most anti-Israel generation, heavily influenced by TikTok, and the most pro-Hamas. And stunningly, one poll showed that virtually the majority of young Americans were pro-Hamas. They believe that what Hamas did on October 7th, the murders, the tortures, the rapes, the mutilations of Israeli civilians, was justified. This is the future of America. If America turns away from Israel, guess what will happen? God's blessings will turn away from America. That includes the blessings of prosperity, power, safety, protection. Pray for America and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They will prosper, as it is written, who love thee. Now, if you have anybody in your life who's anti-Semitic, get this to them for their own sake. And if you are in any association or denomination or church or group that's anti-Israel or anti-Jewish, either get them to get out of it or get yourself out of it. It's cursed. You don't need a curse on your life.
Grant Edwards, 88.1 FM, The Wireless.
There we are. I hope that's a good warning to us. It's 10 to 7. You don't want to be cursing Israel. And I've been blessing Israel. I've started the first time I did, well, because I went to Sunday school, didn't I? I went to Sunday school and they taught me that all the Bible stories, the Old Testament stories about the Jews and how, and also they taught us that the Jews are going to come back into the land. And they did, didn't they? In 1948, they came back. The Bible says, God will draw you, I will draw you from the four corners of the earth where I've scattered you. So he hasn't finished, you see, he hasn't finished with Israel. Now, there's a Roman Catholic doctrine, and it's good to see that a lot of good Roman Catholics and good people, Dan Tither for one, he doesn't go along with this replacement theology, and he doesn't believe that it actually originated with the Roman Catholic Church. He thinks it came from somewhere else. And he may be right, I have to look further into that, but I've been taught that the replacement theology, actually the root of it, came from the Roman Catholic system, because they teach, they believe in their conciliar documents, they believe that when the word Israel is mentioned in the Old Testament, it now refers to the Roman Catholic Church. Of course, they don't tell us that, they just say the Church, and we think that we're included in that. But we're not. It's them. They believe that every time Israel, the word Israel is mentioned, it's now referring to the Roman Catholic Church who have replaced Israel. That's why they wear those little skull caps, the kippah, just like the Jews do. That's why the priests wear those. They believe they are the new Israel. And, of course, the charismatic movement, a lot of those people are highly influenced by that. And we know where the charismatic movement came from. It came from the Roman Catholic Church. And so, yeah, that's where it started, from Rome. And so that's a bit of a problem, isn't it? A bit of a problem. So no, and we can see, just looking at history, we can see that God has not finished with those Jews. And for some reason, I don't know why, he has chosen them. They are a special people. And apparently the Bible says that we'll be grafted together with them. We'll be grafted into the olive branch. That's the Christians, that is. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one by believing that Jesus Christ died on that cross 2,000 years ago, that he was buried, and that he rose again 3 days later, according to Scripture, and over 500 people saw him. Now, those 500 witnesses saw him. And so that's pretty good. I would call that evidence in a court of law. If you've got 500 people that saw this fellow that had been crucified and buried, and then rose again, see him walking around, walking through buildings and stuff like that, and you would say, well, that would be considered evidence. And so there's plenty of evidence that that Jesus Christ existed. There's probably more evidence for that than there is for Caesar. So here, so coming up, we have got misinformation, the COVID misinformation. We will hear from... we'll hear from a person that will tell us what it's like to be a homosexual in Gaza. And we'll also hear from Piers Morgan on Barack Obama. And we'll also hear from Katie Hopkins talking about Sadiq Khan, his guide to policy, politics. And who else we've got? Jordan Peterson will be there as well. And we'll give you a weather update as well for the boaties. Still a lot of fishing going on around the country. And so we'll have a marine forecast and we'll look at the situation as well. But right now, we've got a Muslim teacher. He has been banned in the United Kingdom for teaching his children that the Muslims are going to take over Great Britain.
Yeah, so the actions in particular, which the Teaching Regulation Agency were investigating, they're assessing Akib Khan over comments made between May 2021 and March last year. So he's the 30-year-old man, teacher of English here at the Harborne Academy in Birmingham. And actually, it was the teacher themselves that actually reported the comments that Mr. Khan had made through the own school's safeguarding portal. The school then conducted an internal investigation, which interviewed several pupils and sent their report, of course, to the TRA. They noted the suggestion of inappropriate religious views, as well as harmful comments about dating and relationships. I think it's important just to provide some of course, the comments which the investigation itself heard. Some of them include, if you believe in feminism, if you believe in aborting babies, in man and woman, and a man and woman being married, if you believe in working until you are 35 years old, not having any children, if you believe all your stuff, he said that, believe in it. But he says, I'm telling you one fact, you're going to get replaced by Muslims even faster. They'll replace you even faster. That's some of the comments, of course, he made, including calling at one point Muslim Western women lunatics, and the TRA found that it determined that he failed to maintain professional standards. The panel also considered him to have undermined fundamental British values, they say, including individual liberty and mutual respect and tolerance of those different faiths and beliefs. It's also hurt the kind of investigation. The panel itself also heard that he had sent a series of what they're calling professionally unacceptable messages on Microsoft Teams in a group chat, in that a group chat itself which involved pupils. One of those was a topless picture of himself flexing, and then, as I said, he began teaching at school in 2020. These actions are believed to have took place between 2021 and 2023. We have approached the Academy for a comment and have yet to receive one, and if Mr. Khan would like to appeal this decision, this ban, this indefinite ban, he can do so from the 18th of March 2026.
Okay, Jack Carson, thank you very much indeed. I'm sure there's going to be questions about why this man was even in the teaching profession in the first place.
That's right, and that news is brought to us by GB News over there in Great Britain. And we've got a song from Queen coming up. Not from Queen, from ABBA. Oh, we all like ABBA, don't we? We liked ABBA when we were kids. Mum and Dad liked ABBA. Nana and Grandad and Grandma and Grandpa, they liked ABBA. Everyone likes ABBA. Anyway, we've got them coming up in just a moment. But before we do, we'll hear from, we're going to hear about COVID-19 misinformation. It's 3 minutes away from seven.
People have pled guilty. You know, right after I was elected, I went to what they call a G7 meeting, all the NATO leaders. And it was in the south of England. And I sat down and I said, America's back. And Mitterrand from France looked at me and said, you know, how long are you back for? And I looked at him, and the Chancellor of Germany said, what would you say, Mr. President, if you picked up the paper tomorrow in the London Times, and the London Times said, 1,000 people break through the House of Commons, break down the doors, 2 bobbies are killed in order to stop the election of the Prime Minister. What would you say? I never thought about it from that perspective. What would we say if that happened in another democracy around the world?
Oh, look, honestly, I'd be so embarrassed if that was my dad. 2 minutes away from seven. We'll look at the marine forecast at seven. And coming up, we've got Katie Hopkins on the turntable. Now, while we've got her, COVID misinformation is coming up. And we'll also hear after 7 o'clock, we'll hear from Steve Kirsch, a latest newsletter from him. A new survey confirms that vaccines are by far the number one cause of chronic diseases in America. Nobody should be vaccinated, ever, according to Steve Kirsch. Especially not during pregnancy. And vaccines are also the number one cause of sexual orientation issues. The number one consistent numbers are rather consistent with published studies. And so we'll bring you that from Steve Kirsch after 7 o'clock.
Breaking news from batshit bonkers Britain, where Labour have finally decided to withdraw their support from their candidate in Rochdale, a gentleman called Azhar Ali. He was saying things that were frightfully popular with the Muslim massive up there and the Palestinian, pro-Palestinian mob he represents, things like Jews were responsible for October the 9th and other wildly anti-Semitic stuff. He would have got elected for sure, but finally Keir Starmer thinks it might not do the PR of the Labour Party too much good, so they've pulled their support. In other news, the Sussexes have rebranded to Sussex.com with a big picture of Meghan on the front of their website. I mean, lipstick and pigs come to mind, doesn't it? You can take a cheap actress, you could have her cosplaying as a devoted girlfriend to Bagger Royal, but ultimately you're still left with a trailer trash cheap actress. And finally, it's February the 13th. Brooklyn Beckham has a new recipe. It's called a pancake, and it involves eggs and flour and milk. Who'd have thought? That's it from Batshit Bonkers Britain.
You're listening to Grant Edwards, 88.1 FM, The Wireless, the world at 5.